How about your wife? Did she come? Did she live in St. Louis?
Well, practically all our life. Yes. Her father was a railroad man. Mm-hmm. We were once in Spain for 40 years for all the railroads here. And of course we switched. And I met her through that.
Which railroad was it?
Pierre Marquette.
Yeah.
There's a picture before we were married. I took my canoe over by Linton Lake there by the park.
But you can tell the area was even pretty big then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's about where the waterworks stands now when you look in there. Uh-huh. We had hundreds of canoes there, nights, Sundays especially. There's canoe livery at the Court Street Bridge. It's quite a thing. It was one thing, the Saginaw River. We lived at a houseboat every summer. School was over, we lived there when school started. That was a common thing. And we used to be at Riverside Park across from that. It was a great place. I used to work there as a kid. And my dad would take the streetcar there at nights. We'd row across the river. There'd be 50 to 75 houseboats on the other side of the river. And we were also at Sheboygan Creek sometimes. Just one year we'd go one place and one year the other. We all had yachts. And the river was our, well, that was the
recreation.
Most of everybody had they lived on the river, you know. Houseboats were, permanent houseboats were here from Johnson Street Bridge all the way to Center Street on both sides of the river.
Yeah. Well, on the whole, looking at Saginaw the way you knew it back then, and the way Saginaw is today, the city improvements, the people, the political part of life, pollution, mm-hmm. the whole aspect of Saginaw. Are you pleased or are you displeased with Saginaw?
It's not the Saginaw of many years ago, no.
So basically you're not?
No, I'm not pleased with the way the situation is today. Pollution and all, because you can't imagine. We used to, right at Johnson Street Bridge, you could go down there and pull great big lake perch up as fast as you could put the line in the water. And you see them lined up, one person next to each other on the Pierre Marquette Bridge there, and just fishing every weekend, And, it was just wonderful,
When was the drastic change, towards this? Did you say that was about 20 years ago, somewhere around there? Or did it slowly decay?
Well, slowly, but primarily it was about 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, It was still fair in the early 40s, but then it gradually deteriorated from that point on.
Well, comparing Saginaw to other areas, other cities about the same size, do you think the people of Saginaw have kept it?
Well, I couldn't tell you because I don't know too much about the other cities, but I presume that it's more or less the same all over. They're trying to rebuild, the urban centers, but this pollution thing. See, we used to skate from Saginaw to Bay City in the wintertime, 2 or 3 feet of ice. You can't freeze that water out there now because of the pollution.
The chemicals.
Yeah.
Since you can't remember, basically Saginaw has been Republican then.
Well, it had been, down to the years. It had been down to the years. I think maybe it still is to an extent, that is evident in the election results of the last 30 years.
Do you know a man by the name of Mr. John Danask?
Danask?
Danask.
Danask.
Yeah, I was
curious. Not by name.
Yeah, he was another man that, we're going to be interviewing.
Oh, I see.
And I was wondering, whether or not you knew him.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
I think it's D-U-N-A-S-K-E.
D-U-N-A-S-K-E. Huh. No. And what is he? Is he in business or an older person?
Well, he's an older person, but I don't know if he's still in business or not.
Uh-huh. What was his profession?
He used to be a chauffeur.
Yes, wait a minute. It wasn't for W.R. Burke, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no, it's come. Sure, I know. We repaired his clocks, Burke's clocks. And he used to drive up in the old Pierce Arrow, I remember, in 1912.
And that's Burt or huh? Burke?
Burt. Wellington R. Burke, the richest man in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sort of sticky on, you know, who he was. You know, what was his business? You know, what was his
Wellington
business?
Burt?
Yeah.
Well, he made his money primarily first in lumber. Then he found this famous Mesabi Range, Iron Range, Minnesota, and owned the whole thing. Yeah, he was the richest man the world has ever known.
Can you say anything about his personality? Was he?
Well, he had a nice personality. He used to come in the store on occasions, but usually he sent his chauffeur.
Yeah.
But and then we used to repair his great big hall clock, and he had a number of others. And I often had to go there and bring the movements to the store, and he was very nice to me. And I always liked Mr. Burke. He died in 1919. There's still litigation on his estate.
It seems funny, I was from Saginaw, but I never heard of him. But I've heard Wellington of Burke Township.
Yep.
I've heard of that.
I don't know whether that's named after him or not.
You don't?
But no. Wellington R. Burke. Oh. Yeah, he's quite a follower. Remember the Pierce Arrow we had in 1911 or 12? Lights and Offenders. Yeah, and the chauffeur, yeah, oh yes. Yeah. Real well.
Where did he live in Saginaw?
Well, that's it's still there. It's, I guess, a rooming house. Well, I'm not sure. It's that great big red house between Millard and Cherry on Genesee on the west side of the street. It's a four-story, a three-story and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Great big, great big home. Beautiful inside when I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
Were there any other well-to-do people?
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes. You see, this was the lumber center of the world, and that's where those original fortunes were made, was in the lumber industry. Yes.
What were some other, well-known names?
Well, Eddie. I can't think. Mershon. I just can't think now. There's so many of them.
Oh, just a few.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to do those thinking on that. Going down the street.
And
Morley's, and Morley's, of course, yes. They were here in the very early days, even before, I think it was before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And William L. Weber was a very famous man. Well, he was the founder of the Flint and Pier Marquette Railroad, one of the founders of it. And he made his money originally in lumber, then got into the railroad business. One of the men who established that. He lived where the present Board of Education building is, across from the old high school on Warren and beautiful home. That was a gorgeous, a gorgeous place. Yeah, William L. Weber. He's quite a can't fit the ball. Come to me in time.
The racial, getting back to the racial problem. Let's see, I think it was during the 60s that, the nation.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Did Saginaw ever have any...
No, we never had any racial problems to speak of. Very small, you know, a few sitting on the street for a few minutes until they were chased away or trying to do something.
Or nothing like, out by spring.
Yeah, nothing like this in the South. No, no, we've never had that.
What about, let's see, since most of the people were German, I would imagine most of them were Lutheran. Right?
Oh, yes, we were all Lutheran. I was raised in the church, sang in the choir 11 years in German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any, you know, when would you say Lutheranism, you know, in itself in Saginaw must have taken, you know, it must have changed, you know, because there are so many different religions in Saginaw now.
Yes.
When would you say that?
Well,
that was probably
primarily in those days. Lutheran Church perhaps was the biggest church, that is, the various churches in town. Then I would have to place, the Methodist maybe the next, and then the Episcopalian and the Baptist. But there were no others that we knew of at that time.
See, I used to go to Bethlehem Lutheran.
Yeah.
Now,
I sang.
How old is that building?
Well, Bethlehem?
Yes.
Oh, gee. Well, I was singing in the choir in the teens, and I sang there at that time, so I'm not sure. Just one
was that the first Lutheran church around here, or was that
no, I think the first church was the one I belonged to, was St. John's on his side, second in Germania, or Federal now.
Yeah.
And that was the staff of the old, of course, the old church is gone, but well, you see, my mother, my father were raised and baptized in that church. So it goes back to the, right after, I think, the Civil War time. Our preacher at that time was Reverend Freddie Pulse, and his father was a preacher for 30, 40 years before that. So I think that might be the original Lutheran church here. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, since Saginaw is so close to Bay City, would you say Bay City was different than Saginaw? You know, because Bay City in itself today is having a hard time changing over.
Well, it wasn't the industrial city that Saginaw was. Primarily, of course, early days was lumber,
yeah.
But then it went into shipbuilding business. And a lot of money was made in the shipbuilding business, but there were no diversified industries like we had except a few mills.
So
and fishing and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I remember Bay City in 1910. Well, as a youngster, we had friends there. I'd go with the folks, but as far as industry is concerned, they had no industry.
Yeah.
Just along the river, a few mills and lots of shipbuilding. I think that perhaps was the carryover from the lumber days. And being on the bay, and, yeah.
Bay City's heritage is mostly Polish, isn't it?
Not necessarily. South End is Polish, yes. Most rather diversified.
More so than Saginaw?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it is, yeah, more than Saginaw.
It seems funny, you know, that they would be more diversified than so close to Saginaw.
I know, but you must remember.
It's possible.
40 years ago was a long ways to Bay City, 12 miles. You took the train, you had to take the train, and you could only get 3 trains a day to Bay City. And so you walked to Potter Street Depot, and you waited, and you finally got on the train, and it took 30 minutes to get over there by train.
Yeah, what was the forms of transportation?
Well,
was it just the train?
Trains, electric, the interurbans. There was interurbans, and they ran all the way to Detroit. There was even an interurban run to Frankenmuth, a spur off of the main line to Detroit, and they ran there, I think, 2 or 3 cars a day back and forth. Mm-hmm. And primarily, it was the railroad. And this was another thing that Saginaw had in those days that others didn't have. this was the railroad center, and the roundhouses are all here, and the car shops, repair shops, and there was another industry we had all through the days when railroading was king here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a picture of Sheboygan and Creek in 1908. It's my father's yacht, and I'm in the back, the last one in the back. We had the houseboat down there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Where
the water is beautiful.
Oh, we used to swim there. We had the houseboat down there, you see, at that time. And we just grab a pail and go out and get the water for drinking.
What about Midland?
I don't know much about Midland, no. No, I don't know much about it.
Do you remember anything about, well, you know, I've been told, you know, by my mother that I was related to Luis Campo, you know.
Luis Campo, oh.
Yeah. But do you know, anything from when you were younger about any more of the history of Saginaw before you?
Only what I've read, I've heard it quoted perhaps, but I know the background, yes. You know, when it was just a fort over where the west side was the original Saginaw, you know. See, there was no east side. And that was the original place of the fort in the early days. And then it developed, and of course the lumber industry came. I forgot how East Saginaw was formed, but it was primarily a swamp over there, see. And the highest part was where the, well, where the courthouse is today in that area. Yeah. Louis Campo, yeah, first French trader. Fur trader. That's a long time ago.
Well, see, I guess my he was related to my grandmother. My grandmother's last name was Campo.
I see.
And,
well, how come you're Lutheran then?
Well, see, my father was German.
Oh.
And my mother is French.
Oh, yeah, isn't that the combination?
Yeah.
That don't make any difference what your religion is.
I guess that's all of them that I can unless you have anything else that you would personally
mention. Well, I can't think of anything else, except I wish somebody had run this engraving
video. I'll put up an ad at the school.
No, no. Then they'll pester me to show them, and I haven't got time.
Right. Oh, well.
I got my jewelry shop. I like to do things for myself. That is, I like woodworking, and I've got all the tools for it. I make cannons as a hobby.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Cannons. Well, the first one made in 1914. I've shot that every 4th of July and every New Year's at midnight ever since. I'm working on 2 more cannons now. I just started the wooden, making naval guns.
Do you know of any other, you know, people that were born about the time that you were that are still alive in Saginaw?
Yes. I can't see right offhand quickly. Hundreds of friends from my age are raised here. They're beginning to go.
Well, I don't know. I think you people back then, you know, are basically healthier than the people.
Well, that could be. There are three of my jewelry.
The rest of the interview was me and Mr. Hesse walking around his basement, and he was showing me his jewelry section where he makes his jewelry, and he took me around to the other side and showed me 3 or 4 cannons that he has made, and he also showed me one that I think dated back to 1918, and he also showed me replicas that he has made of Civil War cannons. And I get the impression that Mr. Hesse is a very concerned individual, but at the same time I feel that I had a hard time getting the answers, or concrete answers, to the questions which I asked. And I don't know, on the overall view, I think that the whole interview was quite casual and it informed me quite a bit about Saginaw. And Mr. Hesse is a very proud individual.
Here's some of my handwriting, really. Samples I customers want to see what it's money.
Here's my original.
That's the inside of a wedding ring after I cut it out. Black bridge, I formed it up with plastic now. I'm going to get a lot of that right now. Next month, it's through by the my dad was a graver. I run across these plates here. I didn't even know they were in existence. Most beautiful script engraver. And on the back of one of these, you know what? I saw the engraved man made this plate March 20th, 1899. I was about a year old. He was the most beautiful script engraver. And I can't even do it. I do pretty well. Nothing like him. I don't do watchwork anymore. I've disposed of practically all of my... That's the boy I lost in the service. In the picture of him there. It's our only son. There's my grandfather, two grandfathers. In the early 90s, where I was born, Grandfather Hesse and Grandfather Holden, they worked at the car shops for $1 a day, 7 in the morning till 5:30 at night. $6 a week. Raised a family, he raised a family of 7 children. He owned his own home, free and clear. He had a cow, he had chickens, he had a garden. Yeah, I want that old picture. Thought I'd hang it up there. He's the one that built the house on the corner of 12th and Woodruff, where I was born.